two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. It is a pleasure to have you back with us. We appreciate the news update on the half hour. And coming up later in this half hour, Navi's got some fish bites information for us. But I'm looking forward to the next couple of minutes joining an old friend of ours, Judd Eads, who used to sit in as a co-host of this show. How many moons ago was that?
Jim, that's been a while to make it aging us both. But boy, that had to be 15 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere in there?
It was a long, long time ago. But, boy, I feel like I've had regular conversations with you because I followed your family's adventures on Facebook. And I know you've done the same with me, and we've corresponded from time to time. But it's just great to get some time to catch up with you.
Yeah, I was happy to be able to catch up with you again and be on the radio show, old times. I mean, that's, I think we started that back in early 2000s, so nearly 20 years ago, we were doing that together.
Yeah, been a long time. My first question to you is, how does your wife put up with you taking your boys out and putting them in a MASH unit for all these injuries with your adventures?
We've kind of just slowly worked her over to her where she's not near a surprise anymore. I mean, you met my wife shortly after I got married.
Yeah.
You know, her idea of an outdoor adventure was feet in the sand with a pool and a hotel within 3 minutes behind the beach there. So we've slowly changed her, probably for the worse. And then we ended up with this strange DNA that our boys got that like to outrun their talent a little often and get hurt in the hospital. So, yeah, we own a wing at Logan Regional Hospital up here.
Yeah, well, when Dad brags on social media about going 110 miles an hour in a Morgan three-wheeler, I guess it wouldn't surprise anybody to find out that your boys do some crazy things and sometimes find themselves upside down on two wheels, which is not actually the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, those boys have unfortunately blown themselves apart, and I'm worried what they're going to be like when they're my age. when I was in that Morgan going over 110 miles an hour, I had my mom in the seat with me, and so that might be where some of the DNA comes from, the mom's side of the family.
There you go. Blame your mother. That a boy. all right, but the reason I wanted to connect with you, and I don't want to waste any more time on our personal history, was because you had said you achieved a lifelong dream of being a off-road racer. What is this King of Hammers thing you got involved with?
So it's one of the world's hardest and most difficult off-road races. And from the time I was a little kid, I loved four-wheeling. We used to go on a family four-wheeling trip down to Moab back before Easter Jeep Safari was Easter Jeep Safari. And we would explore these trails, had some of my guys I looked up to, some neighbors that would take us on this trip. And it was Baja 1000 and thought, someday I want to do that. That's like a lifelong. So I've gone down, I've raced the cars, not in the race, but driven the race cars down on the Baja to Cabo. And I'm like, someday I want to do this. And then out of nowhere, I have this collection of off-road vehicles, and I have some work done on it here in Logan. And two of the two brothers that run it, Nate and John Williams, they used to have Mount Logan Off-Road. They sold it when John went to run the Ford Raptor Racing School. So these two brothers are some of the best off-roaders in the country. And now they've got an off-road shop called Impulse Off-Road back here in Logan, and they do work on my trucks. And Nate just one day said, when I was looking at these race Jeeps in his shop, he said, "Judd, you want to be my co-driver?" I was like,
"Yeah,
well, sure." Now I can tell you that, you know, the fact that we had this pit crew of like a dozen or more people and none of them wanted to be the co-driver, I understand a little better now why not many people are signing up for that role. But I was like, heck yeah. Didn't even ask any questions. I'm like, I'm in, whatever it is. And I'd heard of King of the Hammers, and it makes the Baja 1000 seem a little bit like child's play because you're doing full-blown racing through the desert, but then every 20 minutes or so, you drop into the hardest off-roading I've ever done in my life, and you're doing it at a race pace.
Yeah.
You're not taking your line and getting out and having a spotter tell you where to put your tires and how much throttle to give. You are fully tied into this vehicle with a five-point harness. Your helmet's tethered to your neck brace, and you are doing this as fast as you can. And the co-driver, lucky me, gets to stare at a GPS unit and make sure. I think the fact that I didn't throw up, maybe I'll get an invite again.
Yeah, I did notice that you were talking about getting a little queasy trying to watch the GPS while all of this was going on. You've kind of answered my next question, because to compare this to something else that people may have seen video of, and by the way, I hope it's okay if I copy one of your videos over to our KSL Outdoors Facebook page, because I want people to be able to see it. But there is some rock crawling, and it doesn't sound like it's crawling, but that's what I would equate it to, some rock crawling that goes on along with the regular racing, which makes this very unique.
Yeah, so we started it at our pole position, so to speak, was 71st, and we were making good headway. We were passing a lot of people. We got did some just crazy rock stuff where, before, and at one point, there's twice where I thought we were for sure rolling over. Like, we were going up onto our nose. He disconnected the rear axle and used the front end to pull us through, all within a split second. And so we're at this race pace. We get into this crazy obstacle where there's a Jeep. I say Jeeps, but these are just buggies, off-road buggies that are, one's rolled over in the main trail. And the main trail is still the most difficult thing you've ever seen, but then all these other vehicles are trying to get around it, and they're breaking down or getting stuck. So Nate tries blasting around this obstacle, like, and comes up over, kind of jumps up over this thing, and we just peg the front tie rods and the steering stabilizer stuff across, and just broke this one-inch bar right in half.
Mm.
And so to me, I'm like, well, that was stupid. I was finally able to use the bathroom, which was a big deal. That's a whole nother story of how that works.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get that. I'm like, okay, we're done. Game over. But that was sure fun. I'm still just, you know, I'm on race radio talking to our pit. Like, this is still one of the best days of my life. And Nate's like, we're not done. He takes the two batteries out of our Jeep, puts them together to make 24 volt, pulls a portable welder out of his toolbox, welds the thing together, puts two big old bolts on each side of it to reinforce the steering arms and the track bar, and we're back in the race again.
Holy,
I mean, these guys don't give up. And so, anyway, we ended up making it to mile, the race is 140 miles. We made it to mile 127, and then this really bad obstacle just had a half a dozen or so vehicles either rolled over or completely broken down. There was no way we were going to get around them, because early in the day, like when people plug up, I have to jump out. I grab our winch line. We hook onto their rear bumper. We rip them out of the way. We bump up. We hit them, ram them, bump, bounce them off stuff. And so as this is happening, we finally got to this area, and there was just no way we were going to be able to pull everyone out of our way and get through that obstacle and finish the course before it closed at dark.
Oh, shoot. So the whole thing takes how long?
We were in the car, so you start at 6 a.m. to line up. Race starts at 8, and we got the course closed at 6. We're in the car 12 hours.
Mm, crazy. And where does this take place? I'm sorry if you said, but I missed it.
I've never heard of it, never been there. It's Johnson Valley, California, so Southern California, out in the middle of nowhere. It's quite the sight to see. Imagine, like, you know, kind of the Salt Flats, Bonneville Salt Flats.
Yeah.
you go out there, just imagine like some canyons, and but also a dry lake bed is this Johnson Valley. And I think there might have been somewhere like 100,000 people to show up to a place that doesn't have electricity. It's just a lake bed. And so it turns it into what they call Hammertown USA. And you've got restrooms, you've got food, huge screen, big screen TVs with all the sponsors there. B.F. Goodrich is one of our sponsors. So when we come into pits, B.F. Goodrich team is the one working on our Jeeps. And it was the real deal. It blew my mind.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and copy that video. It's a short one, but it does show kind of what you went through over to our KSL Outdoors Facebook page so people can get a look at it while we're talking here. We've got to wrap things up, but what's next on your adventure list? You've done so many, and each of your boys, by the way, we talk about their craziness, but they've actually done things like follow Dad on Ducatis across Europe or something, haven't they?
We've done that twice, where we go to the Alps on Ducatis and race around there for, you know, a week or two. And we were just on we love the snow bikes, the snow motorcycles. We were just doing that yesterday. But my next adventure is here in a few weeks. I'm heading back to Europe to the Alps, and we're backcountry skiing from Chamonix, France to Zermatt, Switzerland. It's a 7-day trip, and we stay up in big old stone huts on top of the mountains every night in these chalets, however you say that.
Yeah, chalet.
So that's what we're hanging out in, and that's kind of my next adventure coming up. So I'm been skiing a lot, trying to get in shape for that so it doesn't kill me.
Well, while you're there at Chamonix, make sure you check out Vallée Blanche. I'm sure you've already investigated that. My wife and I actually skied at the longest off-piste ski run in Europe, 13 miles. You're going to love Chamonix if you haven't been there.
You did that. We're doing that the first day, that run.
Atta guy. You'll love it. And the view from 13,000 feet where you start is an amazing one. So make sure you take a good camera along. Judd Eads, it's so great to catch up with you. Do me a favor. Let's not have as much time in between our conversations the next time.
I would appreciate that. I always love catching up with you.
I'm so proud of watching what you have achieved with you and your family, your boys, and one daughter, right?
One daughter, yep.
Yeah. Well, tell them all.
Thank goodness for my wife.
Tell them all hello. By the way, if you end up in a fire or a flood situation, ARS Flood and Fire Cleanup is a great place to go, and Judd's the man behind it. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Tim. Great. It's fun to be on the show again after this many years.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it is some fish bites before we wrap up this first hour, so stay with us.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ooh la la.
When we look at each other,
fish fry.
Well, you're jiggy. Stupid is what he says.
You are changing the lyrics.
I like it. Men get jiggy. Men get jiggy and women roll their eyes.
Men get jiggy and the women roll their eyes. That's perfect for a Valentine's Day weekend. All right, let's talk some fishing here. By the way, speaking of fishing, Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources sent me a note the other day, and I hope we get some time to talk to her about it. They have tagged some pike down in
Northern Pike,
Utah Lake. Because somebody did a little bucket biology back in 2010 and put them in there, and they have been wreaking havoc on, or I guess they're trying to find out what kind of damage they might be doing.
By the way, our listeners are going to hear this segment after this fish bites.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that's coming up with Faith Jolly in just a minute. But So they have tagged some pike to try and track their behaviors and where they move.
They got inside moles. They got these spies. They're going to infiltrate the group and expose them to the public.
Yes. And so we're going to try and sort that out. But what they're asking basically is anybody that catches a tagged, little red tag on a northern pike at Utah Lake any time in the next, I guess it's a 5-year study.
Right.
They want you to report it back and try and keep a GPS coordinate on where you may have caught it and all that information.
They're trying to ascertain where these guys are because I guess they want them out. And nobody knows who put them in there. And by the way, it's news to me. I had no idea we had northern pike at Utah Lake. And northern pike are an absolute blast. And it's a terrible thing that they put them in there, but I can see kind of why there's that temptation to do so.
But they're big feeders.
Oh, they're great. You know, they're great on all kinds of tackle. Of course, I throw flies at them and they just tear it out of your hand. In fact, when they come up to the boat, they'll follow your fly all the way to the boat. And what you do is you stick your rod down in the water and make figure eight shapes. And they follow it in a figure eight pattern. I'm being serious. These guys could give a crap about your rod. They can give a crap about your boat.
That's so funny.
And then they bite it right there. You watch them just move it around. And they go round and round trying to bite it. And they get their beat on it. And they hit it. And then you just throw them in the boat. Lift them up. Put them in the boat.
That reminds me of telemarketers and old people.
That's a weird way to look at it. All right, so that's on our radar anyway. We'll talk to Faith more about that after the top of the hour. I just have to throw this out there, too, and I thought it'd be fun to talk about for a minute. A rural Utah lawmaker wants to amend the state constitution to specifically protect the right to hunt, fish, and otherwise take wildlife in a traditional manner. Kind of sad that we actually have to go to this point now. But Casey Snyder from Paradise has introduced this House bill, which says, subject to statutes enforcing the right. Snyder says if the legislature agrees and citizens vote to amend the basic state document in November, Utah won't be the first state to have some kind of a constitutional guarantee to be able to fish and hunt. Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, Colorado, believe it or not, even California has changed their constitutions to ensure those rights. Does that surprise you?
No. Basically, there's fear that animal rights activists are going to end it for everybody. There's that notion that's out there, and these are people just trying to get in the way of it. You know, who knows what the future holds? I don't see that coming, but there are people who are totally afraid of it, and they want to, you know, ensure that it's constitutional, our right to hunt and fish.
Said years ago, the GOP Utah legislators were worried that some outside environmental group would run a referendum locking up public lands in Utah. Lawmakers approved, as did voters, a constitutional change requiring a supermajority two-thirds vote by citizens or referendums that dealt with the use of public lands. So some people are afraid of this, and they think this will be a way to protect it constitutionally.
Well, it's not a first time. About maybe a decade ago, we had a commercial that ran in Utah that was very similar. Now, you know, as a student of history, you understand elements of propaganda, and that commercial was propaganda at a level that used all the propaganda tools that they're available. And Orrin Hatch sniffed it right out, and he badmouthed that commercial, and they took it off the air. But that was the same agenda, but they used, you know, very terrible strategies to try to convince people that, you know, hunting and fishing should be protected.
Boyd Matheson, who hosts Inside Sources here on KSL at 11 o'clock during the week, has this saying that I have sort of adopted about how different factions, different sides, like to engage us in fake fights and false choices.
Yeah. Right.
That then get people to sway one way or the other.
That's
for
propaganda
their own political agenda.
Correct.
Fake fights and false choices.
Fears that aren't actual.
Right.
You know, the sky is falling is a metaphor because the sky can't fall. But the notion that we got something to fear and the only thing we really had to fear is fear itself.
Is fear itself. We were doing.
He sounded British to me. It didn't sound like.
We were doing presidential quotes on the ski lift this past week. Anyway, there's some fish bites. We're out of time. We've got ABC News coming up at
the
top of the
hour. What? I didn't get to do my Kennedy?
No.
And I didn't get to talk about what I was going to talk about with fish bites?
No. We're done. We're done here.
Done.
But we will talk more fishing, and we'll sort out this whole pike story from Utah Lake when we check in with Faith Jolly right after the news at the top of the hour. That's next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.